When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready to talk about some bad CGI?
Oh, I'm going to beat your ass, Bythesi.
Okay. What is up? Welcome back to Bleach Boys. Episode 17 we're discussing today, which is the Komamura versus Bambi fight for 99% of it. And then a little bit of Mask to Masculine, which we love all the way through.
Whoa. We got to see Shinji.
Yeah, a little bit. So we're going to be talking the inner fine details of a masterclass of CG. You know, I would say really well-used CG. Then we'll go into how they pretend, like Kensei and Rose, question mark. Am I that the right Fizard?
Yes.
Rose.
I get Rose and Love mixed up, and I'm like, I don't know which one is which. How they give them a little moment of hope before the next episode we're going to see them get destroyed.
I have never been more excited to clown on anything than I am for the next episode.
Judging by what we've seen of the Masked and Masculine stuff so far, I would assume they're going to give them a little bit of a W somewhere in there. Like maybe they'll be able to down him and then he gets back. They're going to buff that out a little bit and give them a little bit of hope because they get clowned on.
Absolutely not. I want it to be exactly like it was in the manga.
No. Quick and easy.
It won't be because they've already been giving all kinds of extra scenes to the Yumichika, Ikkaku, and Shuhei squad. It's already been done.
But who gives a fuck about Rose and Kensei?
A lot of people. Well, not so much Rose. Kensei's got a lot of fans.
He's got a lot of fans.
Yeah, so they're going to give Kensei a moment. I know for a fact.
Rose, though.
Okay, Kensei's Rose, got nothing but no, L's, though.
But Rose got the end credit poem for this one. Yeah. So they could be setting something up. They could be cooking.
Oh, it's because we're going to see Bankai.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's true. All right, let's kick it from the beginning of the episode. We just talked about the poem. So we start off seeing actually the Bambi squad just hanging on a roof without Bambi. So just having the times of their fucking life. And they see Bambi's Volsting activate. And they basically like, man, that girl is really fucking dumb. She's the worst person
just
that could have been activated that. And they said the battle's going to end really quickly. And I do have to give a special note that the bells chiming throughout this whole scene, 10 out of 10.
Yeah,
10 100%. Out of 10. The bells, the soundtrack is fucking awesome. So we get to see Shinji, as Jose alluded to. He is in the episode. And he says, oh, you know, like, what does it matter that you powered up? Everything is still reversed. And she just fucking explodes everything. Just starts launching off explosions, which is what I was asking last time we were watching it. It's like, oh, does it affect her, the explosions? And if not, why would she not just explode everything? Why would she just not go ape shit? And then Shinji takes one right to the fucking face, and he's out. It's game over for Shinji.
I don't think he even finished his sentence. Right?
I think it just, he got mid-sentence of like, oh, everything's over. Blah.
Blup.
And then it's just she double taps him instantly.
It's a great scene, and I love the fact that people paused it right before Shinji exploded in his face.
And you can see when he's on the ground, too. We were clowning on it, and you can see when he's on the ground, his feet are also up in the air. He's just full-on cartoon dead. Like, poor Shinji, dude. They gave him his moment last episode, and it was game over.
So I don't really vibe with Bleach humor, but the last couple episodes have had me cracking the fuck up.
Dude.
I love the humor in Bleach. It's always been fun.
I just want to take a second and maybe get you guys' opinion. What do you guys think of the pacing on the fight so far? That is quick, man. Even this fight that we're going to get with Komamura and Bambi, it's like almost one hit, you're out. Like, that is fast.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, war.
I prefer it to 12 episodes of talking and maybe one swing.
So that's what I was seeing. I feel like I was watching these and I was like, man, this is definitely different from regular Bleach. Because normally, like you were saying, Pythes, we get a 3-episode philosophical debate that happens in the middle and a few slashes to mix that up in between. And then we'll go back and forth. It's like, man, in this one, They start talking. They're cutting people off. They're slashing them in half. And then it's like, and the fight's done. We're going to move on to the next one. I'm like, that is breakneck speed.
It helps so much with the pacing because I remember waiting for moments in the manga that I really wanted to see animated. And then you start an episode and it's 15 minutes of recap of what happened last episode.
True, true.
And then a bunch more talking.
I feel like Bleach Thousand Year Blood War is the perfect example of, like, this is the benefit of waiting until your anime is done or, like, really, really far in advance. They don't spend any fucking time on recaps. There's not a single recap in the beginning of any of these episodes. They go full ape shit into the episode, and here you go. And because of that, as a binge watcher, I can tell you it will play back on the Blu-ray or the DVD or whatever it is so much better
than a One Piece
or a Naruto or something like that.
They know a lot of it is people just coming back from reading it all those years ago and then
and like, what's the point of a recap week to week? Are we, like, trending to dementia patients? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't know why they do that. Naruto was really bad. Bleach was also really bad. There was a couple of old episodes of Bleach Boys where we did the OGs. 5 minutes of a recap in Bleach. They used to be really, really bad. But now, because the story's done, I'm sure they have the pacing all figured out. And like, we're just going to fucking go. We're just going to go apeshit. And that's why these fights are so fast.
If this was the old anime, we would still be watching Kang Do versus Hitsugaya.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And there would be a whole lot more of, like, face shots, reaction shots. Here's what I think of that attack. Here's me explaining the Bankai that you've... It's like a Pot of Greed moment. Here's me explaining the Bankai of Hitsugaya that you've seen 8 times already. It would be brutal.
And it's so much better because it doesn't feel sped up. It just feels like, get to the part, the part's here, it's done, go on to the next one.
I would argue it does feel a little sped up, and I don't know if that is partially my expectations from other animes or my expectations for Bleach as I know it. It feels fast, man. Like, I was fucking shocked at how quick Shinji got roasted there. Yeah, it was like,
I was not expecting
boom,
within the first
he's
five.
Out. Game over. I'm like, that is crazy. Where normally that would have been a multi-episode fight in a normal episode of Bleach.
Well, I can tell you, going, you know, panel to panel with the manga, they gave it a few more scenes, but this was about a 1-to-1.
Damn, okay.
That's right. Really good.
Yeah, I feel like maybe at that point, Kubo was like, fuck the dialogue. Let's fucking get this thing going, and just went all the way through. Okay, anyways, rip Shinji. So Komamura returns to save Shinji, and Momo is there as well. She was just hiding in the fucking rubble somewhere.
I forget what her Shikai does. It absorbs stuff, right?
So it seems like she absorbs and is able to shoot back out into her own explosion, from what I remember. Correct
like
or not correct, Pythies?
No, she just shoots explosions.
Okay. She just fucking shoots them. Because I know... she jumped in, and then Komamura saved her, and he did mention, oh, your Shikai would not be able to, like, redirect these ones.
Or absorb it, I think is what he said.
Yeah. So I think she's just an explosion sort of person, and so she was like, oh, perfect fucking battle right here. Jumped in, which actually trying to do something crazy, Momo. Actually not screaming like a madman, which is a rarity for Momo.
She just got out of the, you know, the psych ward.
Yeah. I was like, hey, kudos to fucking Momo. Komamura saves her because he's like, yo, listen, you can't, like, block these. You can't, unless you have armor or something, you're not going to be able to block
but
this.
Good
stuff.
On him for realizing that what the explosions do.
Yeah.
We got that scene where it stops right before, and he's
like,
oh,
fuck
this.
I like that scene a lot because she kind of, like, she keeps making fun of him for being a doggy over and over and over and over. And so when he goes to block, he stops, like, split second, changes. And she's like, oh, is that your animal instincts kicking in? Like, is that what that was? To figure that out. And that's where we get the first kind of look when he gets his arm blown off by Bambi, well, his armor on his arm blown off, where we see his human hand for the first time as a quick little tease.
Yeah, you get to see like the very, like, hairy part,
which I guess I wanted to look this up and I totally forgot. What does his hand look like normally? Is it a paw?
It's always gloved.
Yeah.
Okay, so we never see what his hand looks like under the glove normally.
I would imagine it's like it works like a normal human hand, but
okay.
It looks like
it's like
a
dog paw.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Because I saw that. And I was like, oh, interesting. Like, there's his hand. I was like, wait, what the fuck does his hand normally look like? Hell if I know. And this is where we get the explanation of Bambi, where she says that she's not actually shooting out bombs. She's firing her reishi, and whatever her reishi touch turns into a bomb, which is a gangster fucking power.
That's
way
fucking
better
badass.
Than firing bombs. Way infinitely better. That is like, I mean, you have to dodge, which... I'm going to be a salty boy for a second here again, where the amount of bombs that she is shooting is fucking nothing compared to the amount of blasts of Sero that Stark was shooting at Shunsui, and he had no fucking problem dodging any of that. So I don't get what the fuck's going on here. Just dodge, Komamura, you stupid ass.
Would you?
Komamura is a big slow guy.
If you could combine that with Bakugo's powers.
I mean, yeah. Well,
I mean, he kind of, like...
But listen, get into the technical details of Bakugo's powers. You would technically just be firing glycerin-covered reishi.
Reishi, yeah.
Which I guess when it explodes, maybe make a bigger explosion because of the glycerin. I don't fucking know. Because his explosion is not actually... Or his power is not actually an explosion either. It's just he sweats glycerin and he...
And combust them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it could potentially be good. I don't think it would be the best. But I mean... That combined with Stark's power would be pretty good. He was just shooting out bombs.
Just shoot him from a gun.
But then again, I mean, fucking he barely ever landed a shot because Shunsui was so goddamn fast, apparently. So was Ukitake, just the two of them. Anyways, back to the regular episode. So Bambi, at this point, she starts to fire a whole fuck ton of her Reishi Komamura, and he basically holds his ground and protects Momo and Shinji at that point. And that's where we find out that he is now a human with these weird fucking pointy wolf ears. And we learn about the Jinka technique here. Which I thought it was interesting. They were also, if it's in Japanese, the pronunciation of the Jinka Ninjutsu. So you can take that as what you will. And it says that the werewolf clan were sent to the animal realm for the sins that we committed during our past lives. Even that was enough, so they ended up returning to the Soul Society. And they say by temporarily breaking the chains of the sins that bind them to that form, that werewolf form, they're able to return to their forms prior to them being condemned to the beast, allowing them to gain immense powers. And in order to get that form, Komamura has to rip his own heart out, offer it to, I believe his name is actually the Grand Elder. I don't really know what the fuck that dog's name is. And he has to offer it to him. And Komamura is like, well, you know, I already abandoned my clan because I couldn't stand a life of hiding like they're doing. And then Yamamoto is the one that brought him in. And now the Quincy's killed him. So he has to avenge his death. And then he fucking gouges his own heart out, which is pretty disgusting. So
fucking metal. Yeah.
I know. He does it without even hesitating.
Yeah. Just, yeah. Yeah, which I have words on that Grand Elder dog later. So Momo is now back in the scene, and she is apparently strong as fuck because she's just carrying Shinji away. Komamura's like, hey, take Shinji. She's like, right away. Fucking lifts his ass up and just jumps off.
Working out in that padded room.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, we know Momo's been putting the work, apparently. I would say Momo could potentially also be stronger than Shinji.
I mean, let's be honest. We've seen Shinji. He's pretty skinny.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. In his regular outfit, he is a scrawny boy.
He just sits there and listens to jazz all day.
Yeah, yeah. He's just dancing.
He's vibing, you know.
He's having a good time. Which I also think I saw people saying that this is an anime-only scene.
Which one?
With her carrying him away?
The fact that Komamura tells Momo to take him and Momo takes him. True or false?
This is true. We'll get into that later because I have notes on it.
Okay, cool. And then so here's where we get the scene of Komamura going bonkai, and it starts off in this one in his classic samurai armor before he adds on the additional word of it is Dengaijo, and that's when he goes into his full fucking demon no armor mode. And Bambi at this point is disappointed even further because she's like, oh, there's not even a doggy form under the armor, like what the fuck. And then she thinks that there might be one under the monster form, like if she keeps shooting it further. So Bambi shoots his hands and it starts to regenerate instantly. That's where you get some more explanation from Komamura, and he explains that the Kokujo Tengen Myo is an armor Bankai imbued with life, and the Dengaijo part of it is its form when it's stripped of that armor, exposing basically only the spiritual pressure and the power of the Bankai. And Bambi keeps exploding it, hoping to damage Komamura some more. He says that Kokujo Tengen Myo's life lies in literally the armor itself, and the Dengaijo is stripped of that, so explosions are not going to work on it. It has no life, no nothing. And Bambi says that she knows how the Bankai works because she literally just had it a minute ago, which pause. She was using it, I guess, at some point that she knows that, or I guess that
she was informed on how to use it.
They all got the notes on what they were fighting against, but she's like, yeah, I had it. So did she, like, is there a time in the Vol Standing where they were just like, or the fucking whatever, the Serbal, wherever the fuck they hang out, where she was like, yeah, I'm going to pop this Bankai. It's going to be great. Fucking breaks the roof. Just like,
you remember Kang Du said, yeah, we were all trained on how to use the Bankai we stole.
Yeah, so it's like, where was this happening? Especially for someone, I guess, they're living in, like, the shadows of the Soul Society. Like, what if in the Shadow Soul Society world, they break a roof? Does it pop through to the fucking Ashes Soul Society? What happens?
Probably not.
They're just like, well, there's a hole realm in our roof now. Yeah. It's like, best of luck. Thank you, guys. So at some point, she was training with Komamura's one, and she probably figured out what a piece of shit Bankai it was, and that's why she did not give a shit about losing it. Bambi continues to attack the Bankai, expecting it to still fuck up Komamura, and that's where we get the reveal of the big-ass hole where his heart used to be. Komamura starts to explain that his body is now an empty shell, and it's nothing more than a vessel to defeat you people, racist. And he says the Jinka technique allows us to gain temporary immortal bodies by offering our heart. As long as he's in the human form, he shall never perish. And Bambi starts to freak out and runs, which is probably one of the smartest moves I think we've ever seen. I don't think we really see people running in the Bleach universe. And she says she does understand what the point of winning is if you've already thrown away your life, which facts. I agree with 100%. That is a losing bitch-ass strategy. I don't know what Komamura is doing here. And so Bambi is like, fuck that. I don't want to fight this guy anymore. Komamura begins to swing his sword down with his giant Bankai. Oh, and before that, he says that he didn't throw it away. He just staked it like Yamamoto did on this war. Fucking big old bitch. And Komamura starts to swing his sword down. And the Bankai sword hits Bambi and just fucking explosions. Just go goddamn everywhere. And we go back to some exposition here from the Everlasting Story Dog. And he's saying that he's proud of Komamura and how he truly is one of them. And then we see a beautiful, which I don't know what the fuck your problem is with the CG here, a beautiful scene of slow-mo Bambi. Okay, this I think is one of the best scenes. I give this the second best scene of the episode. Slow-mo Bambi watching the fucking sword come towards her, and she's basically thinking to herself that he is swinging the sword so fast that the bombs aren't detonating, because he's just, that's how fast it's fucking going. And so the bombs explode right as the sword touches her. So potentially the bombs could hurt her as well?
Yeah. Okay. I imagine once the Reishi has hit something else, it's just become its own thing.
Because they're shooting out of her or away from her, correct?
Yeah, she shoots them and then they explode.
I thought they were bouncing back at her from the sword.
No, so she basically shot it and it hit the sword, and he's dragging the fucking sword towards her.
Yeah,
and then she's like, "Well, fuck! It's going so goddamn fast that it's gonna hit me before I can explode the bombs." So it hits her and fucking explodes and just beats her ass.
Which also made me laugh.
I like that scene a lot. Yeah, I was like, "That is really cool." And once again, I think it was a scene where it showed kind of like the desperation of Bambi. She's like, well, fuck. And just like think all that shit going through her head about how fucked up a situation that is. And she just gets roasted. So then we get a Komamura scene, which this is a, let me go ahead up here. Anime only scene of this brief portion right here of Yuha Baha being able to see Komamura's Bankai out in the Soul Society.
I thought that was sick.
Him as he's starting to walk towards where Yuha Baha is. That scene, best scene in the episode. That was fucking sick. And what we talked about last episode of them adding scenes to show the scale of the war, I thought that was really fucking cool. Where you can finally see, you know, like, hey, this is the Sarutei you guys all know and love. Here's the huge Bankai, and here's it slowly walking towards you. I was
it
like,
almost
that
looked like it was
cool.
At the edge of the Sarutei.
Yeah, it was a sweet scene.
It looks like he's at the edge of the Silburn, and he's just walking towards him. Legit, though, did remind me of some fucking Power Rangers shit, but it was totally cool. Yeah.
It was cool.
I don't think the CG model looked great, but that scene was awesome.
Okay, I'm glad we can agree on that. Yeah. Because I think that scene, it was like Yuha Baha unfazed, watching Komamura walking towards him with that Bankai. I was like, that is fucking cool, man. That is a cool scene. And what a great scene to add.
Yeah, Komamura looked menacing. He was a badass throughout that whole moment. And you just see him doing that death walk towards him.
That looked like a heavy metal album cover.
Yeah, for sure. It was fucking awesome. And even to the parts where like Komamura finally, you know, begins to like fall to his knees, but the Bankai's head fucking explodes and just shreds.
That was crazy.
I'm like, it is so well fucking done. They did such a good job on this stuff. I'm just like, man. And then we get the Komamura scene after that where he's basically, I interpret it, he's basically begging for more time. Like, no, like not yet. Like, I need to keep going. I need to go further. And we go back to the big dog. And he basically is like, oh, very good, Sajin. And he says, have you noticed that those feelings you have are a desire for revenge? That you're throwing away your life for revenge, the very thing that you told your friend that he was doing, which we get lots of flashbacks of Tozen.
Damn, I was like, ooh, which, he fucking went
there.
Yeah.
I was like, that is such a great fucking comparison. So good. Because, like, really, you think about it, back to that fight, Komamura was talked down to Tozen the whole fucking time. Like, not worth it. What are you doing? Revenge isn't worth all of this. Da-da-da-da, so on. Yap, 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 yap. Like a fucking dog. Okay? And now what happens? Yama dies. Revenge, revenge. Except he worded it a little better. I'm going to avenge him. I'm going to go avenge his
death.
It's
still very much the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, it's full circle. Comes back around.
Yep, yep. And I like that this was just like a... Because I feel like normally, you know... there's a lot of grandstanding in anime where it's like, oh, I would never do that. And I like that this one, he was like, I went down the same fucking path that Tozen did. And he's even like, realizes it a little bit later. He's like, well, fuck. Like, I should have just listened to what this was said. So the big dog continues on and basically says, you know, that feeling of revenge he has, that's okay. Because that revenge is our clan's true form. And you finally come back to our clan. Komamura then begins to transform into an animal right there. And he starts realizing that this is the price I must pay. And I wrote down this huge long speech here. And it says, your life as a human will come to an end soon. And you will become a beast of revenge. Let your anger reach its very limit. Curse your lot. Wallow in your vengeance. And the big dog says, I will sip on the dark resentment and live on. Thank you for doing this for me. Thank you, dear Sajin. You became a beast that cannot speak just for me. And then he fucking eats his heart, just sips it right up. And my question following that scene is, the fuck is up with that scene? What the fuck?
I think he uses it as nutrients to live longer.
Do we know anything about that big dog, Pythies?
No, he's just a big dog.
So it's never explained that, he just eats it and he's like, all right, cool, I'm still alive? Or is it just... overflows with blood. So that's
this
the time limit.
This is going to be such a horrible comparison, and this is going to make people mad coming from someone who hasn't seen Death Note. It was like Death Note to me, basically. Whereas, like, the dog was like Ryuk, fucking scammed the fuck out of Komamura. It was like, hey, thanks, man. Hell yeah. Thanks for the heart, idiot.
I mean, I see the comparison. I know what you're talking about because Ryuk at the end of the whole thing takes life away.
Like the dog was not helping to help Komamura, you know? And then that also begs a lot of questions for the clan of Komamura. Like, where's the rest of them? Is the big dog the last one? Is the big dog already gone through the transformation for revenge and for some reason he can talk? Like, what's the deal with the big dog?
So more of his clan will show up in the books.
I kind of figured it was going to go to Camp for Your Own World.
Which is it, Camp for Your Own World?
No, it's one of the others. I can't remember which one it is.
Interesting.
But...
okay.
Is it Spirits?
No, this happens after the Blood War.
Okay. Oh, okay. Interesting. So, okay. Because, yeah, I have a lot of questions about, like, what the fuck is up with their clan. Because that big dog, he scammed him. He scammed Komamura. And to the point where it's like, you know, yeah, you get this power. But what was it good for? One fight? Like, the fuck? That was so short. And then it slowly, the blood kept rising up and up until it poured out. And then he started dying. Like, that is the shittiest power I've ever seen. I hope to God that he scammed him. That's not the actual technique.
I mean, he did try and warn him.
He did say you're not supposed to, or what did he tell him exactly? He's like,
you're not ready for this.
Yeah, exactly. You're not ready for this at all.
Fuck off. Get out of here.
Pretty much, he's just like, get out of here. You abandoned us.
But, like, then he makes him fight him. He's like, yeah, fight me, and I'll do it. He's like, well, why am I fighting you? And I'm going to give you my fucking heart, and then you're also going to eat my heart. He's like, what's the point of that? Why do I have to fight you to begin with? This is a net positive for you.
To prove that he's committed.
So Komamura is immortal, right?
He was.
As a dog now?
I think he's still just a dog.
I think he's only immortal in the human form.
Oh, okay, I see.
I think in terms of a dog life, he still has this normal Soul Society rules where it's like they're going to fucking live forever regardless. But now he is stuck as dog. It's like the Animorphs with the hawk.
Okay.
You know, he stayed in the dog form for too long and he's stuck as the dog.
Oh, you bring it up to Tobias lore?
Yeah.
That guy was my favorite.
I didn't bring it up because I think the Power Rangers CGI is a better comparison, but I was like, that is Animorph CGI.
Okay. No, it's not, dog. Relax.
Sam, you were like accidentally kind of onto something when you brought up Death Note.
Okay.
It's not really a scam. Ryu dropped the notebook because he was bored and he just wanted to see what would happen. But he's like, here's the rules. Do with it what you want.
See, you know, and I feel like
here's the power.
I feel like that's exactly what happened. The dog was like, yeah, here's this power. You know, it's going to make you immortal. It's going to be a good time, but hey, you got to rip your heart out. And he's like, hands off after that. And then he rips the heart out, tells him no other information. Like, hey, your heart, I'm literally going to eat. It's going to let me live longer. So you got scammed.
I mean, he practically serves it to him in a plate.
Well, yeah, quite literally,
he does. And it's like, I don't know. I guess my dumb ass would have done the same fucking thing. Would have been like, oh, that, don't think anything of that plate there. Here's my Let's heart. Go. And then would not occur to me, oh, that plate, he's literally going to eat off of it. Fucking bitch. Anyways, fuck the big dog. All right. So we cut back to Sajin, you know, Komamura, and he's realizing everything that's going on here. And he says that this is the price of selling his soul for revenge. And this is the price for not taking the words that he said to Tozen for himself. And he turns into his full dog mode. That's when we get Lieutenant Iba. We love him. He goes on to be captain later.
He knew.
God gave it to him. The boy. He saw his time to promote, and he was right there, dude. And so he picks up the dog for massaging and carries him forward towards Yuhabaha. And he basically tells him that you've done nothing wrong, Captain. Let's fight. Let's go kill that bastard Yuhabaha.
Let's finish this together.
Yama, which it would be so fucking cool. And I don't remember this happening, but it would be so cool if he appeared later at some point and helped fight Yuhabaha. Does that happen?
No. So except for seeing Iba at the very last chapter, this is the last you'll see of any of them in the manga.
That is crazy, yeah, dude.
So I don't even need to write down if we see them again. That's anime only.
Hey, what does his Shikai do, Ibas?
We don't know.
We know nothing,
right?
about this guy. We know nothing.
Okay.
And
we
he's
don't
captain
even know
now
his name.
In the Hell Arc, so he has a Bankai now as well, and we know nothing about it.
We don't even know his Zanpakuto's name, I believe.
Okay, Every time that he had gone to do it previously, even in filler arcs or anything like that, they do it as a joke.
Screen.
And they'll swap.
Right? It's already
switch over. Yep.
He already has the little thingy sticking out of it.
Yep. It is crazy, but I think it would be so cool if Komamura had a moment where he maybe, like, as a dog, I just want him to bite Yama's arm. Not Yama, Yuhabara's arm.
What?
I just want him to bite Yuhabara's arm. That's it. I want him to get a little bite in as a dog. But I guess we're not going to see him again unless that would be some crazy chain shit.
He gets the final hit.
Well, like, I don't even want the final hit. Maybe, like, he's about to do something and he jumps in and bites him, you know? Like, I don't know. Something. Anything. Because I want Komamura. He sold his whole fucking soul. I want him to get a lick in.
At least a little W.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't even have to be a W. What? I want him to be there.
Have either of you played Metal Gear Rising?
No.
Nope.
Okay, well, there's Robot Dog, right? And in the final battle, the Robot Dog comes in clutch and delivers the really good sword to Raiden.
There you go.
I want Ichigo's Bankai to be broken, and he goes off to fight without it. And then when Tsukushima fixes it, Komamura runs in, throws it with his mouth.
Well, like, the only thing which I feel like is kind of a fucked up thing with Komamura is he doesn't interact with much of the cast, you know? So, like, who would he actually be there helping that would know, like, if you see a dog throw something to you? I want him to have an impact where people are like, oh, that's Komamura, thank you, you know? But he doesn't interact with anybody.
Maybe the other captains.
That's why I was making fun of it in the first season where Ichigo comes down to Soul Society and it shows all of his friends and also Komamura. Like, oh, yeah, that guy Ichigo talked to once.
Yep. Yeah, it's
bonded just, for life, dude. Yeah, just like I
don't
a puppy.
Know. I don't know. I don't know. He doesn't have significance. So it's like I want him to show up and help or do it. But I think that's why the best thing, just have him jump in and give a bite really quick. And then you have a like classic dog scene in any movie. Hits him one time, he's off screen. You know, just, that's yeah, the classic, and he yelps. Yip, and then he's lays there.
the stock yipping sound.
Yeah, effect. Come on. Like, yeah. It happens in every movie. Like, one hit on the dog, he lays on his side, he's sad, it's over. You know? I want that for Komamura. We're at the mid-credit scene, which is probably 3/4 through the episode at this point. And I do have the Google translation of all the mid-credit stuff, and we'll go based off of that. So the first one is about the Jinka technique. Which it says Jinka no Jutsu, by the way, in case anybody wants the English one. And it, according to Google, I swear to God, an ability-enhancing technique passed down through the werewolf clan. Originally, the werewolf clan fell into the animal world due to the sins of their life, so a lot of stuff we already know. They were made into beasts, and they could not die. So they returned to the soul world as they were, soul society as they were. The technique temporarily breaking the chain of guilt and returning to the form before being sinned as a beast. In other words, the form of a human and gaining tremendous power is called the art of humanization, according to Google. Don't know what the actual translation is. And it says the caster can sacrifice his heart to temporarily gain immortality. And while in human form, he cannot die no matter how much damage he receives. However, once the effect of the technique disappears, it is a once-in-a-lifetime technique that turns into a complete beast instead of returning to its werewolf form. Interesting. I think what a lot of stuff was touched on in the episode already for that one, but I do think it was interesting to note that they straight up say in that human form, even though Komamura said it himself, literally immortal. Literally immortal. Not like even just like Komamura in his armor and all that shit. Quite literally, while they're human, they cannot die.
I want to know what happens if Soyphone hits them with her Shikai twice.
True. Well, I would imagine they're fine until the form runs out.
Yeah.
But quite literally immortal until the human form runs out. We're going to go over Quincy Vol standing now for the second middle one. And the Google translation of the title for this one, which I thought was pretty interesting. Exterminator Complete Communion is the full title of that one, according to Google. So it says it is a ability strengthening technique for exterminators, obviously, for the Quincy. It is different from the final form of the destroyer that Sogen Ishida was obsessed with.
Soken.
Yeah, this is a Google translation, so I'm just yaiki. Yeah. Soken Ishida. You can release the ability of the holy letters more effectively and dramatically increase your combat power. It is mainly expressed in the form of a star-shaped ring on the head and wings on the back, but there are differences in the shape depending on the user. In this state, Kiliopi, the boy that we saw way early, who possesses the holy letter J, which is the absolute slavery of spirit particles that has raised the concentration of spirit particles, which is the basic ability of the destroyer, to the limit and absorbs even emptiness. And then for some reason, Google says, I showed it. I don't know what the fuck that was at the end, but it was in the anime, I suppose, is what they're trying to say there. A lot of the stuff now in the mid-credit scenes, it seems like it's all stuff that they've touched on pretty deep. That the only one I feel like was egregious so far was our Yuhabaha one, where there was no backstory about it except for in
with
the fucking
baby
mid-episode.
One and everything.
Yeah. That one was the only egregious time where they hit all that shit in the mid-episode one. So cutting back, we go to Kangdu, and we see that he's alive, which is something that we touched about last time. Is this guy still alive? What about BG Knight? And he is there and alive. He's just kind of regaining his breath. And we see Uryu appear from the shadow portal like a fucking creep and walk towards him. Then we hop over to BG9. He's repairing himself. I think he says at 45% when we get another creepy Uryu appearance. He just fucking walks out of the shadows to come get him. And then we see Bambi. Bambi is there, all fucked up on the ground as well. She's very upset that she was the first to lose out of her squad. And that's when we see the rest of her Bambi squad appear. And they like, oh, you know, poor Bambi's like, we'll help you out. Like, no problem.
Sure, GG.
That's where we get the kind of, I feel like this is kind of an eerie moment where Bambi starts fucking freaking out. Like, yeah. No. Like,
I mean, please. She knows what's happening.
Yeah, like, please don't, yeah, GG. Yeah. But like, this just goes again where I feel like, I don't know, the one hit factor that we keep seeing where these fights are over in one hit, I feel like to me, I'm like watching a lot of stuff. It's like, they're not out. Like, what do they care about Candace? Bambi. It's like, she can get back up from that. It's like, she's not dead. You don't make her into a zombie or anything like that. She's fine. But it, like, for everybody else, and I think it's just maybe a drastic change, they're like, nah, she's dead. She needs help.
Everyone's like, yeah, she fucked up.
Yeah. I was like, she still can get up and be fine. But I, you know, they probably just want to shut her ass up. So,
I mean, they are all kind of catty bitches. Let's be real.
Yeah. Yeah. They saw the weakness and they pounced.
I mean, that's why I like them. They're all fun.
So we cut to the Shunsui, Nanao, and Yugram, Yugram party time. And Yugram breaks the barrier that has been separating them finally. And he says that he's been gradually stealing the Reishi from his side of the barrier to weaken it. But it took a lot longer than he expected. And he throws Nanao a compliment. He's like, that's a good ass technique.
Good shit, girl.
Really, really good. And Nanao says that time it took him to drain it also allowed her to create a brand new one. And we see this new like hexagonal design. And she says it appears fragile because it's not a single layer barrier this time. So it's had multiple layers to it. And Yugram, being the fucking badass that he is, immediately is like, yeah, well, if it's fragile and it looks fragile, I'm going to assume that's a trap. And so Yugram begins to power up, saying he's going to have to use rougher measures this time. And then all of a sudden powers down out of nowhere. And he says his majesty is waiting, excuse me, and turns to leave like a fucking gentleman.
I do love that. He's just like, oh, hang on. I'm sorry about this. Let me resheathe my sword.
Yeah, and he's walks just away. Like, oh, yeah. Well, our time here is done.
And he's like, what was it? They ask him, are you going to come back? He's like, if his majesty wants me to, I guess.
I think Shunsui was like, oh, like, well, when are you going to come back? And he's like, when the order's given.
Yeah. Like, what a cold, fucking badass, dog. Yugram.
Real cold. Yeah, Yugram is cool all the way fucking through. And then we cut to more Ikkaku, Yumchika, and Shuei, where they're giving him just lots of screen time here. It's insane. And they actually said that they were able to defeat Mask one time, and he's on the ground.
Yeah, they beat him.
Which I'm like, hey, I mean, fucking more power to him, I guess. And that's where we see James there yelling out for Mister.
Yeah. Come on.
And that's when we see Mask.
You mean Pythies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's me. It's me.
We see Pythies there cheering him on, you know, asking for him to come back. And we see Mask as he lights up and stands back up and says the bell is rung by James. And Mask goes in and he fucking combos all three of them at the same time.
I love those combos.
It's
they were
like
so
a
good.
Fighting game. He just got all three of them in. It's like Marvel's Capcom when you call your people in, you get all three of them. He's fucking up all three of them at the same time. Does a three count on Shuhei, which is a big RIP.
I thought that was hilarious.
And this is where we see two like bright meteor things start to fall off.
Ooh,
the sky.
Who could that be? I don't know who
that's
going to
be, but they're coming down.
I have no clue.
Yep, and James and Mask are awed by this. Like, oh, okay, should we go over there to the shiny things? Like, should we go? Like, that'd be pretty cool. So they go to leave, and Shuhei wraps his chain around Mask's foot, which, you know, hey, more credit to him.
Hey, he's fighting. He's a fighter. Hey,
honestly, credit to him. So Mask goes over to finish Shuhei, but right when he's going to step on his fucking face, he has his foot stopped by none other than Kensei.
I love the clothesline he gives him, though. Just yanks him.
He got fucking clothesline hard. Like, that's fucked up. And he's about to get finished, and Kensei, thank God, saves him because he's about to get curb stomped.
That was a JBL.
Yeah,
it
was.
Line from hell.
Yeah, he got fucked up. Shuhei, which he was putting in good work compared to Ikkaku and Yumichika, but yeah, he got fucked up. So Kensei says, he's speaking to Shuhei, who's now knocked out, but he's like, wow, it's like you got knocked out without anything to show for your training. And I'm going to note, potentially alluding to the fact that Kensei was hoping he was going to do Bankai. Yay or nay?
Yeah, but like he can't use Bankai yet.
Yeah. I don't think he can use it, but I think Kensei was hoping the training they did would have pushed Shuhei towards the Bankai direction and be like, yo, like I just trained you for all this, and what'd you do? You got knocked out, homie.
Which I mean, it takes 10 years to master a Bankai. I think it's more like, hey, we've been training you for a while. You got knocked out this fast.
Unless you're Ichigo.
Renji? Oh.
Unless you're Renji.
Renji's Bankai was a fake one.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we find that out later.
Unless you're Sasakibe, unless you're Byakuya, all right? The precedent is set.
What? You know, Byakuya trained that thing for years and years,
right? He trained it to get it to be its precise, beautiful form, but I think he unlocked his Bankai pretty quick.
No, it takes like 100 years to get and like 10 years to actually like master.
All right, well, scratch Byakuya off the rest. The rest of them stand. My boy Sasakibe did it in record time. That means anybody can do it, okay?
That's because Sasakibe's the
bless
goat.
Bless his heart.
R.I.P.
Yeah,
Don't compare mortal men to Sasakibe.
He ain't the goat. Did you see how they slaughtered his unit in BBS, Pythies? Did you see how they slaughtered? That unit is such a piece of shit. I cannot believe that they did that. He's a fucking droplet farming unit. That is trash.
What, the new one?
Yes, the brand new one.
The brand new one? I thought it was going to be way better.
Nope, trash, dude. And then Yamamoto, fucking round two for BBS again. For the third time, he's in the round two unit, and he's a PvP unit again. I'm like, dude, like, what is happening here? And then they referred to the correct technical term for her unit is Yachiru. But, you know, it's Unohana 1,000 years ago in her prime or whatever. She's the only one that is potentially good. But even then, all the units are pretty mediocre. I'm like, where did they fuck up on that one?
To be fair, I'm the guy that just plays with the characters I like. So I'm just, hey, it's another Sasakibe. I'm happy.
Yeah. Hey, go for it. I don't need any more droplets, but I'll still summon. But it's like, they fucked it up where it's like now, like because they're anniversary characters, they're also premium units. So they're just going to be in the regular banners forever. It's like you could always have a chance of pulling them.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I ain't going to go deep on that. Ain't no way. That was our BBS moment of the podcast. So we're going to go ahead and carry on.
I will go deep for Swimsuit Bambi when that comes out eventually.
Yeah.
So Masked and Masculine is happy that a captain is here, and he's like, you know, he's like, normally I would be pretty happy you're here because that would be good. But he's like, we've already decided we're going to go investigate
this conspicuous
fallen object. And that's when we have Rose that appears. And he's like, well, you know, you got two captains now. I think that's pretty good if you want to make a name for yourself. So Mask fucking backflips back onto some rubble. And he's like, all right, come at me. It's like, that sounds great.
I fucking love this guy.
And then Kensei tells him like, hey, don't worry. We won't take too much of your time. And if that ain't the truest fucking statement to ever be said in the world of Bleach, I don't know what the fuck is, dude.
Yup.
He's about to get embarrassed. Correct.
Yeah, that is like, man.
He knew.
Like, that sounds cool from the winning point where, like, yeah, we're about to decimate you. But if you know what happens, that's fucking embarrassing. That is embarrassing.
I'll say it again. I cannot fucking wait for next episode.
it's going to be within the first 5 minutes.
I think next episode is going to be probably 100% masculine with Renji. I think the title of the next episode, I wrote it down here, is literally Rages at Ringside.
Yeah, it's going to be that.
That's a fucking cool name.
Yeah, so it's going to be all fucking masculine next episode. Yeah. All the Kensei fans that I saw celebrating online, enjoy it while it lasts, okay? Because you guys are about to get clowned on.
He might do something cool.
No, you're all about to be clowned on worse than Shinji. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
you think it's going to be that bad?
The visors, what are they doing? They're going to get clowned, homie.
Yeah, that's
the
true.
One who has the best showing is Shinji.
Yeah, literally. And it's
and
like
you saw
what
happened to him in this episode. Yeah.
And they gave Shinji some extra limelight in there, and he already baseline manga had the best showing, so he is fucked.
So I'm gonna correct you and say it's not gonna be 100% Renji versus Mask. It's gonna be 99%, and then 1% with Kensei and Rose.
Yeah, it's gonna be a rough one for you guys who actually like Kensei. It's gonna be fucked up. So
I think Kensei's cool. He just doesn't do anything.
He's really cool, and his design is cool. His personality's cool. It's just they squander it every time. And it's like they can't really change it now because, like I said, and we talked about last episode, Mask's fate is already sealed. You can't change it. There's nothing you can do to change that. He has to get destroyed.
He has to. And you can't take away Renji's one real dub in the series.
Yeah. And I mean, when Renji announced himself as the villain, I mean, like, you can't take that from him.
Yep.
When was the last time Renji got a real win?
Yeah.
The first time he fights Ichigo?
Yep. No, he lost the first appearance when he shows up. He fucking
loses. Oh, you're right. He gets cut because I remember he was wearing the glasses or something.
Byakuya has to save him.
He beats Xyloporo's brother in the Arrancar arc and then struggles to fight Xyle, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's true. He doesn't get the dubs very often. So, well, let's head to the after credit scene where it's more anime only everything, more Ichigo training to be the Soul King vessel, which is explicitly fucking laid out in this episode. So, we see Ichigo still struggling to get close to the gate here, and Ichibei starts to explain that the weight that you feel is all that you are trying to protect, and he says everything you see are everlasting memories and revelations. In other words, the power of the Soul King. So we start to see a bunch of flashbacks happen here, about flashes of cuts and stuff on screen, and I have a brief gripe that pissed me off. So all right, let's go. Before we get the huge set of flashbacks where we see all the stuff that we've seen before, where we see like the bodies, we see the crystal of the Soul King, we see the Sarite from up above, that kind of shit. We see a close-up of Ichigo's eyes and something flashes on screen for a split second. And I was like, what the fuck was that? That was the quickest flash that I've ever seen in my life. So I started pausing the anime. It probably took me 10 goddamn minutes. I was sitting there, space, trying to figure out what the fuck just flashed on screen right there. I was like, what is that? So I'm doing it, and I am in like fucking whatever player I'm in. I cannot get it to stop on the thing. I'm literally space. I can't do it. So I fucking pull out OBS. I record the fucking scene. Yeah. I put it into Premiere so I could go frame by fucking frame. You know what that flash was that appeared right before that?
What?
Ichigo's eyes. It was just multiples of Ichigo's eyes that they put on screen.
Oh, it was not Ichigo's eyes like, with all the other like...
Nope, not even other dots in his eyes. Just extra copies of Ichigo's eyes that flashed on screen for a second. And it did it in three different cuts. Like one on the bottom corner, some on the upper corner, and then another one really bright. I was like, what a waste of my fucking time for that one, dude. I was sitting there like, that's gotta be... Because it fucking flashed really bright. I was like, what the fuck was that?
Sam, do you not know about playing things at slower speeds?
Pythies, I went frame by frame dissection on that, okay? It's as accurate as you could get. And my God, it was a waste
Sam,
of my time.
I know this is a shock. I'm going to give you a spoiler. He doesn't become the Soul King. I don't think this matters that much.
I wanted to see what the flash was. I was like, what was that? And it was so quick. And it was just, I couldn't do it. I couldn't see anything. Anyways, we get the actual important shit after the fact where we start to see that. And I feel like there were a couple of new flashes that happened in that little anime only scene. Most importantly, the OG Gotei 13 was in one of them. So they're involved somehow, which is pretty interesting. And then we get the classic Rainbow Ichigo, which we saw all the way in the trailer for Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, taking in all of the Ryats and stuff like that. And Ichibei begins to ponder. Are you a vessel capable of withstanding the power that fills you, or are you a bowl that shatters? And Ichigo begins like fucking exploding with black Ryatsu,
like
turning into like a some Akira bullshit that starts happening. It starts turning into some sort of blobby bullshit, and he raises his Zanmakuto, which begins to shine, and he returns back to normal, good to go. And we get a brief little scene of Ichibei smiling like a creep, which fuck that guy. And Ichigo finally makes it to the gate, where he's immediately transported to be in front of Shinjimaru, which we have not really seen before now because her scene was cut that we would have seen previously. And Ichigo, no bullshit, no nothing, is like, so what do you want me to do next?
Hey, that's like, goat. God, this is a fucking
damn.
Goat.
Yeah. And then we get the end scene poem of Rose, and he says, the heavens resound with deceit, the captive heart dances to the melody. And that's where we get the title of the next episode, Bleach Thousand Year 18, Rages at Ringside, which we've already talked about. Fucking badass. So great episode from my perspective. Pythies, anything that we missed, anything important to touch on?
Yeah, let me get out my notes, and I will say that's a really good poem. It perfectly describes what Rose's Bankai does.
Interesting. So a little teasy tease for people who actually know what it already does.
Do you not remember?
It does something with music and potentially white.
Don't think about it. Just wait till next episode. It'll make it even funnier.
Can't wait.
All right. So here's my notes. I usually don't really talk about voice acting or anything like that. All of the Bambi Squad sounds exactly like I thought they would from the manga.
Which is good.
Yeah, that's really good.
Which is really good. I guess you would say they fucking nailed it.
Yeah, great. Like, whenever they talk, it just sounds like what I hear when I'm reading in my head.
Okay.
Nice.
All right.
Okay, so that's really good.
So at the point where like this episode starts, Ichigo is already fully dripped out and ready to head to Soul Society.
Oh, so they've really pushed it back at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So I will note that I saw people talking online. There is only 4 scenes from the Thousand Year Blood War trailer that we have not seen yet in the anime. And 2 of them is of Ichigo. Like one of them is new drip and one of them with, you know, the new Shikai or whatever. And then I think one of them is Renji and Rukia in their new drip as well. And I don't remember what the other scene is, but we have no information on anything past that. And it's all just like still images of Ichigo, Rukia, Renji, and there's one other one, but no images of fights, no images of any of the stuff that's going to happen past the Renji and Master Masculine stuff. Literally, we have nothing from the trailer. So all, like, what episode are we in right now? The season 4 or 5?
4, I think.
So
4.
I would say episode 5 and beyond. No, episode 6 and beyond. We have no images, no nothing for what's going to be in those episodes.
Ooh, that's going to be some fun stuff.
So
that's so exciting.
Yeah, we're literally fucking blind.
Yeah,
for the back,
I love it.
Which is incredible that they did a whole trailer for the season and only did the first 5 episodes.
Still don't think they should have showed Shinji's Bankai, but
I agree. I 110% agree, but I do think there is some stuff where they have to kind of like put in a hype moment.
A little bit of tease.
They sacrificed the Shinji's Bankai to build up the hype.
So I was watching the opening again because I just like looking at it. It's just kind of interesting that they dressed Uryu in all black and Ichigo in all white for it. Especially considering
the reversed, right?
Yeah, it's the reverse because you see them in the music store. Ichigo picks up the double guitar, and then it cuts to them in their Soul Reaper and Quince uniform, and their colors are reversed again.
That's probably just to create more of a drastic change when they transform. I bet
Look cool.
Yeah, I think that's purely it. It's probably just like the rule of fucking cool, and they're like, "Yep, that's cool." Boom.
I wrote, "Hell yeah, Bambi's Volstern dick is red, just like in BBS."
Love yep. that. Yeah, I know people were upset about the change of color for Soy Fawn's little Shunko wind color.
Oh, isn't it supposed to be green?
Yeah, yep. It's supposed to be green.
Yeah, yep.
I didn't even notice that. I'm gonna be honest. I didn't pay attention.
Yeah, I saw all kinds of people pissed off that they changed it, but it's like it's just the color of wind now. It's like it's just wind. Like there's not green. It's not like she farted into it.
It's like Yoruichi's is fine because it's supposed to be lightning, but Soy Phones is wind. What the fuck color does wind have?
Yeah. It's like, how do we animate wind? Which they should already have lots of practice with Ganryu. So come on.
Yeah, true.
It's true. So I'm going to be honest. I think most of the Volsterndik are not very interesting, but I think Bambi's looks awesome.
I liked how Candace's looked, and I liked
I like the lightning bolt wings and stuff.
I don't remember her name, but the other one we see with Candace, her
Gigi?
Wings were pretty cool. Is that Gigi?
Yeah.
Giselle.
Giselle's looked pretty cool as well.
The zombie girl,
when we look at, what the fuck, it Basby, his is so super fucking stupid.
Yeah.
So I was like, the Bambi looks cool. Oh, yeah. Where the fuck did Komamura go?
So he left, I assume. He did leave. Yeah, he left to go fight Yuhabaha, which is another thing that I saw people talking about, where I guess in the manga, where Pythes, maybe you would know, he's kind of just hanging off to the side in the manga. But in the anime, they changed it where he dipped out.
Yeah, he left, and that's what I wrote down. Like he left last episode, and then he came back. Like,
yeah, to my knowledge, he was leaving to go like to Yuhabaha himself. He's like, yeah, I have this power. He probably knows it doesn't last that long. He's like, I'm going to go straight to fucking Yuhabaha. But then Komamura, being a good guy that he is, like, he's like a law-abiding citizen.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
So he turned around to save Shinji.
He's a bit like Tozen.
He probably immediately felt Shinji get fucked up with that first blast and immediately went, boom, right back.
I think they should have changed it where he tries to leave and then Bambi stops him.
I think that would make sense because, I don't know. I think it makes sense regardless because we live in a world of Bleach where everybody's fucking teleporting goddamn everywhere. So either one makes sense. I like that they showed him trying to leave to basically be like, I have this new power. We all know I have this new power. I'm going to Yuhabaha himself. But then he does a U-turn. He's like, I got to save my boys.
It makes more sense than him just standing there watching Shinji get exploded.
Yes. Yeah, it does. It makes way more sense. Does. Yes.
So the animal realm is called the Hell of Beasts in the manga.
That's it.
Okay.
I guess I would probably say, and I would hope that this is the case, the Hell of Beasts, maybe they changed it so not to confuse it with the Hell Arc.
Possibly might just be like an translation thing.
Yeah, translation thing. Maybe they changed it to sound cooler. I would hope that maybe like, listen, like we're going to explore Hell for the next arc, so we don't want there to be like, oh, well, why didn't they go to the fucking Hell of Beasts, you know?
Maybe the Hell of Beasts is connected. That'd be kind of cool.
Hey, good news, though.
True.
Now, since Komamura didn't die, you don't got to fight him in the Hell Arc, which that would have been the easiest fight in the fucking world, but still.
Imagine you get to the Hell Arc and Komamura is the strongest one there.
Dude,
what's his name? Tetsuzaimon.
Yeah.
He shows up. He's like, I need to take care of this one.
Well, just imagine it's like when they show up to fight the Fullbrings and everybody gets their own 1v1. You walk in, your 1v1's Komamura. I'd be fucking celebrating.
He'd be laughing. He'd like, let's go, Mustard.
Let's go. It's like, this is going to be the easiest fight my life.
Komamura walks in. He pulls Bankai. Then Sam's like, what is a war crime? Mustard gas.
Yeah, it's like, we're in the Hell Arc. There's no rules here. It's like, come on.
Sam's just killing everything.
It's like, we're already in Hell.
Would
like,
they die if they're in the Hell?
We don't know. We don't know. What happens when you die in Hell? We don't know.
Sam could potentially be screwed there.
I mean, cycle of reincarnation, I imagine they'd just be reborn somewhere.
Okay. So maybe
they'd be reborn as someone who also gets hit with mustard gas.
But I would potentially, I would assume the same cycle of the where you need to keep all of the realms equal. You know, like what they were talking about with the Quinzies when they were destroying too many hollows. I would imagine that would also go to the hell like area where
Not to get too into hell, but hell is kind of its own thing that doesn't really factor into the whole thing.
So it wouldn't affect the balance of the other worlds. Like, let's say if you went in there and you just nuked everybody that was in hell, you'd be chilling.
I don't actually know, because hell is so weird, and like how the world works is so weird. It could affect everything or nothing.
Because I feel like you're two sides of the coins, right? You either go in there, you fuck up things, no biggie, cycle reincarnation, good to go. Alternatively, you fuck up too many beings in hell that were not supposed to be reincarnated. It reincarnates them back into the world, fucks up the balance with too many numbers on one side, and then you're screwed.
I'm excited for someone in the comments to entertain me. I actually have no clue. Someone let me know.
Okay, there you go.
So as you alluded to earlier, Sam, him telling Momo to take Shinji and leave, anime only. In the manga, fuck them. If they get hit, they get hit.
So they're just there.
What do you think the reason for the inclusion of that new scene was?
Because they are fighting with explosions and a giant mecha, and you kind of need to know where Shinji and Momo are.
Okay, so I would take the inclusion of that Shinji and Momo scene to mean that they are doing a pretty good job with the anime of basically going back and filling in some of the holes that were left open.
I would take that as a
big thumbs up where they're like, yeah, we're redoing the anime. We're adding new stuff to it. Let's take this time. We're going to plop in a couple of scenes. We're going to fill in some holes here and there. And that's like, that is such a small hole. You know, where it's like, well, what were Shinji and Momo doing? Where'd they go? I like that they showed that.
But it's really, it's like we were talking about earlier with Basby. Like, hey, all my soldiers, you go off and do your thing. I got this. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, how come Basby didn't have his soldiers with him? He told him to fuck off.
Yeah, which I take that as a good sign where they're like, it's been 10 years since Thousand Year Blood War is in. We've seen the complaints and the questions everybody has. We're just going to go through and be just like minor scenes, plop them in there.
I just want someone to mourn Ukitake, I'll be honest.
I think he'll get a good moment. They'll add some moments in there. I think they will. I feel like they already showed a couple of Ukitake reactions, so I think we'll get some.
Oh, yeah. So during the Shinji Momo scene, I wrote down, if they get hit, fuck them. It's their fault for being in the way. That's a Sam way of thinking.
That is true.
Yeah. I mean, what were they doing in the first place, honestly? And then Shinji was talking such a big fucking game where it's like, oh, yeah, don't worry. I'll take this one. You go ahead, Komamura. Gets blasted instantly, you fucking dumb bitch.
And I could see, like, Shinji, why are you laying on the ground? You know I have mustard gas.
It's like, you're not fucking up my whole thing, damn it.
It's like, now I can't use it.
That you got hit.
Yep.
So it's not even censorship. It's just kind of the shadows. But in the manga, you can see a bit more of the exposed rib cage when you see Komamura's hole in the heart.
So you might not be able to see it from your crappy webcam version, but I have the full up colored version of Komamura's Bankai from the manga.
Oh, I can see it really well.
I will say also, there's another thing with the shadows, because they went with a more darker tone than, like, I feel like in the manga, you didn't really quite know if it was going to be really vibrant and what it was going to be. And so I feel like whenever you see comparisons from the manga to the anime is dark, like really, like in color and tone and stuff like that. It's really, really dark. So, like, I personally thought the CG was good. I also do like the design of the manga one where you see it much clearer. But I think the darkness and stuff kind of helps it, like, you know, the
more ominous.
They keep saying the shadows keep getting darker and darker, so they just fucking make everything dark as shit. You can't really see anything, but that, you know, it adds to the tone, I suppose.
It makes it more moody, because this isn't like a fun, wacky invasion like a fake Karakura Town
or the original fucking Soul Society invasion.
I mean, they were just having a great time.
Ichigo and everybody.
Where Ichigo and Ganju have time to get into shenanigans with Nautra. Yeah,
they get to change outfits, go in the sewers, have all kinds of fun.
Like the Quincy are going around with, like, murder squads.
Yeah, they're exterminating people.
Fits really well. I like it.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. It's interesting, and I think, I don't know. I think maybe it would potentially be pretty jarring to switch from, like, old school Bleach straight over to this one, just because the colors and how it would change.
It is a drastic change. You can kind of see it heading that way, but it is a drastic change. You're right. Mm-hmm. So I think Komamura's story is a really beautiful one, and how futile it was to seek revenge. And it, it's more of a Faustian bargain than anything else.
This is just one of the things where I go back to what I asked you guys earlier in the beginning with the pacing of the fights. It was so quick. It was so quick. And obviously, I don't wish they would give more screen time to Koma Murray, even though I think it was really well done. But it just felt like his struggle for this power. How was he supposed to do anything with that fucking power? It was gone so goddamn quick. And I feel like maybe had they thrown in some sort of a line of like, oh, well, the more you use the power, the quicker, you know, you're going to go into your beast form or whatever the fuck. But what's the time limit on it? What? It was one fight's worth of a power. What a shitty secret technique. Even Mugetsu did more damage than that. Like, what the fuck?
So I'll throw this out there. Here's the change they make. They make it so Koma Mori is trying to kill her as fast as possible, but she's hard to hit. She's flying around. And he's constantly thinking, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this. I got to go.
In the manga, he's thinking that?
No, that's what they should have added.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree 100%.
A little bit of a time limit would have been nice.
Because just felt like it was so quick. And it's like, what were you going to do? Like, Koma Mori, like, obviously he doesn't know anything about this, but like, what? I go back again. He got scammed. Because what the fuck? That was one fight's worth. How is he going to ever fight Yuhaba? That was going to take way longer than that. How is he ever going to take off the rest of the fucking Quincy or the Stern Ritters? No way that was going to last. What a crap power.
I mean, getting scammed is what a Faustian bargain is. You make a deal with the devil and expect to come out on top, and you never do.
Yeah, yeah.
He always collects.
So did you talk about how fucking cool the episode number and title card were?
No.
But that was really sweet at the end of that.
Like you see the Bankai walking towards Yuhabak, and then you get the title of the episode.
Yup.
Yeah, in the footprint. It was fucking cool. Sick. The way they've been doing the titles going forward have been really cool. Like we talked about last time where they did the title on the fucking grand table as they were pulling it back. They've been doing incredible. Well,
do you remember how original Bleach used to do it? When they would be like Bleach number whatever? It was always a different like title card
say. Yeah.
It was a different font. And it was cool. And this is just they're expanding on that.
Yeah, I agree. I like it a lot.
So were you coming to get Kangdu and BG9 as anime only? Like they're both defeated and then you don't see him until they're handcuffed and waiting execution.
Okay, so now here's an interesting point that I was thinking of while I was watching this scene. Because I feel like, you know, potential spoilers if for some fucking reason you haven't read it, just a warning. Uryu is obviously still on the side of the fucking good guys, right? And I feel like this kind of shows like, man, like he's kind of leading these two people to their deaths. You know, it's like Uryu himself went to get these people and bring them back. I'm like, his hands are dirty, homie.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do sometimes. It's a war.
Got to do. And I believe I think Uryu says it himself. He's like, I basically gave up all hope of defeating him. Or it was something only I can do.
I think he says it's only something he can do.
So he's like, yeah, you know, you got to get it done. Doesn't matter how it gets done.
Yeah, it's just kind of fucked up because like it's one of those things again where they kind of show you like these people that person has. Even the scene with Bambi, right, where she's screaming for her life. It's like it just shows like, you know, these people want to live. They also want to live. You know, saying it goes back to the classic fucking Shunsui quote from when he killed my boy. He's like, you know, like in a war, both sides are wrong. You know, it's like it's fucked up and it shows it. It's like in Uryu, I feel like, you know, not to go back to the fucking Nazi comparison, but it felt like he was leading them to the fucking death camps. Like, here, come here. And like grabbed him. I was like, dude, that is fucked up.
Would you like another Nazi comparison I left out last episode?
Yeah, go for it.
So one of the chapter titles is Burnt Offering. And that is what Holocaust means.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, oh.
Oh, I did not know that.
And so that was on the BASB chapter.
Oh, shit. Okay, interesting.
And I was like, ooh, a little, get cutting a little too close there, man.
You're like, I feel it.
It's like, yeah, I get what you guys are going for with this, you know, the comparison, but a little too on the nose with that one.
Oh, yeah, so in the anime, Jugum just kind of is like, oh, hey, you guys need me? All right, I'll be back. In the manga, like a giant Quincy cross appears behind him, and he's like, "Okay, I'm getting a message."
No, oh, interesting. Okay, I guess I think it's a bit cooler this way.
I agree. It's more of a like, "What's that, sir?" All right, see you guys.
I was gonna say, you're right, Jose. It's a bit more subtle of just like pick it up on the ear. Oh yeah, I'll be back.
Yeah, I like it a lot more.
He just does it so easily, though.
So cool. I love that the last part of that scene is Shunsui going, all right, you be back. I'll have some good tea for you.
Yeah, yeah. I do like that.
Yeah.
So instead of be sure to thank her, Jugrim just says his majesty's orders are absolute, which is less cool. Okay. That's less cool. I prefer the anime's version.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree. Some of the wording is a little bit better.
So shout outs to the official manga for giving me a translation, because when I looked it up, I didn't get anything. A Silburn means Silver Cross Fortress.
Okay.
Oh, sick. So, that's really sick.
Ah, dude, werewolves, dude.
Yeah. He, true.
That's why he ran out faster.
Yeah. I don't know how he thought he was going to get in there. That's fucked up. That's his weakness.
Let's see. So at the point where they cut to Maste Masculine, this is where he's first introduced.
Interesting.
Oh, my God. So they added all those extra scenes beforehand.
All of that. It was Shuhei meets Yumichika Inikaku, and then Maste Masculine shows up. It cuts to Shunsui talking with Jugrim, and then it cuts back, and they're all beaten up on the ground.
That's so unfortunate for them. Yeah. That is fucked up.
And then you know, like, they see the lights from the sky, and then Shuhei wraps his chain around and gets clotheslined, and then Kensei shows up.
Okay. So Shuhei still had a little bit of a moment, but they gave a little bit of the spotlight to the other guys, showed him they defeat him once. You know, it was a little bit of a struggle. It wasn't just a steamroll. And then they went back to the regular manga.
I do like that we got to see Masculine a little bit more, though. It just shows how much of a menace he is.
Yeah, like, because you kind of have to build him up, because he's a weird, dumb master wrestler, and how are you going to take him seriously? Okay, he glocked three really tough characters instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to beat two captains.
Yeah, true.
Also, nothing is better than his drop kick in season one.
Oh, my God, yes. He's just Renji through the fucking place.
Remember that scene when Renji comes back.
Okay, got it.
So in the manga right now, it is abundantly clear that that's Rukia and Renji. You have a shot of them, like, talking as they're entering. While they're shooting stars, and then you have a shot of them landing, standing there looking cool. So it is not even a mystery.
Okay. Well, I like this one way better.
Yeah, it was a little bit more ambiguous.
I feel like we know who it is. Everybody's gonna fucking know who it is. But I still like the little bit of a mystery, and like, it looked cool, them coming down from the sky. And next episode we'll get that landing scene where we'll see their cool fits. But I like it a lot. Now, remind me, Pythies, where's Byakuya? Mm-hmm. What's up with him?
He was even more injured than they were, so he's taking a little bit more time.
Okay, makes sense. He's still there, but he does show up almost after that because he helps, or, you know, kind of gets the final tap on Rukia's fight, right?
Yeah, he basically tells her how to, like, cool down and stuff like that.
So does he also shoot down from the sky at some point, or does he just appear?
I think he just appears. But
yeah, he's just that guy, I guess. He's just that.
But he's too cool, man. You know, he doesn't need a flashy entrance.
He just rolls up.
He's going to show up all of a sudden and be the coolest guy in the room.
That's my Byakuya.
New trip.
So they say it. They'll probably say it in the anime, too. When Ichigo is going to come down to Soul Society, they're like, it'll take you like 2 hours to get there from here. So you got to go quick.
Damn. What the fuck? Why does it take so long?
Because it's way up there.
Oh, yeah. He's like way up there, right?
Yeah. Like the Soul King's Palace is like not in another dimension. It's physically like up in the sky.
It takes 2 hours of falling to get down there? That would be exhausting.
No, it takes 2 hours of them like flying with Reiatsu at full speed.
Jesus.
That's exhausting.
And this might be me being crazy, but I feel like Ichibe mentioned it'll take you a full day, and Ichigo's like, I don't got that time. I'm going to make it in 2 hours.
There you go. What a badass.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're right. I think the shots of them just being meteors is so much cooler than them talking like we've entered.
Yeah, it's like, that's why I feel like they're doing a really good job of changing up some of the scenes and building up the suspense, because, well, they're doing a good job in some way. They build up no suspense with Shinji's Bankai. But the changes with their meteor and stuff like that is cool, man, where it's like, oh, like, who is that? Who's coming down? And even it would be cool if they showed other Quincy's as well, kind of like, oh, who is that? Like, coming down from the sky, you know, that is cool stuff. Really cool.
And then I wrote, it could not be more obvious what the fuck they're trying to do with Ichigo's training.
Yeah. They're really beating you over the head with the Soul King stuff now.
Unless you have never seen this before and haven't read Can't Fear Your Own World, you know what the fuck's happening.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like maybe if you had no knowledge of stuff that happens afterwards, and especially the stuff with Yuha Baha, you could potentially be pretty confused with the Soul King stuff. Like, I do think this gives a good explanation of, like, Ichibei, you know, Squad Zero, why are you guys not doing fucking anything to help out with the second invasion, you know? Like, you know there's a potential chance of them coming back up here. Like, why are you guys not helping? And now you see, what are they doing? They're fucking pumping up Ichigo full of Soul King Ryatsu, trying to get him to be a vessel.
I really like the way they're making Ichibei look weird and creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it goes to back to what Shunsui was telling Nanao back in that like first episode or something, where it's like, yeah, we can't, like, we gotta be careful about that guy. And she's like, what? And he's like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. My bad. You know,
he's a crafty motherfucker.
Crafty, I would say, potentially self serving sort of guy. Like, Ichibei is one where it's like, he's powerful, but you know, can you trust him? Question mark.
Like, he is dedicated to the Soul King in whatever form that needs to take. And yeah, if you got to shove Ichigo in there, oh well.
Yeah, and I feel like he knows, once again, hey, there is a potential that something's going to happen to my Soul King. Better start preparing backups. Better start getting Ichigo good to go. Better start seeing. And it is such a risk for Ichibei to be doing this, because they know Ichigo is powerful. Everybody knows. Like, they rely on Ichigo heavily. He is risking Ichigo here. Ichigo could have become the bowl that cracked, and then we don't have no Ichigo. We have no Ichigo to help against Soul Society.
I feel like Ichibei was confident enough that he's like, I could probably handle it.
Well,
but he doesn't want to get to that point. He's just preparing Ichigo just in case.
Yeah, but I mean, man, like, what do you do? It's like everybody's expecting Ichigo to, you know, come back and help them out. Ichibei has to be the bearer of bad news. Yeah, I broke him.
Yeah, oops. He was my bull. Sorry, guys.
Oops, sorry, guys. I tried to glue it back on and then broke it farther.
Yeah, it's like, I really did try my best, guys. You have to believe me. Everybody be fucking pissed.
And so I'm ending with just, like, a fun fact I learned recently. So, you know, in the Japanese, they're called Shinigami, which means, yes, death gods. Apparently, Kubo liked the translation of that to Soul Reaper, because he said it sounds closer to what they actually are. They're reaping souls instead of being gods of death.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
That's cool. Yeah, and I dig that a lot of the stuff, like a lot of the mid-credit scenes and stuff like that, there's English all over it. Like on the top for like the Vol Standing and all that stuff, English, 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 English. It's just the big translations, like that is a blob of Japanese text right there. So I dig that he likes the English stuff. And even like the times when he did, there's a while back where he did the, like all of the characters from Bleach, their favorite song.
Oh,
and, like,
yeah.
It's, he did that all over the spectrum of stuff. It's Kubo's a cool fucking dude, and it's like he shows that he's really takes in a lot of fucking media, a lot of stuff worldwide. He's a cool guy.
I mean, what he said he liked the Espadas and gave them all Spanish names because of the way it sounded, and then when he switched to the Stern Ritters and stuff, it's all German because it sounds harsh and aggressive.
And I actually have a correction from way back when we did the Bleach live action video.
Uh-huh.
So a dude whose name I forget, I think it's Super, no, not Super Eye Patch Wolf, totally not Mark, did a thing where he like watched all of Bleach. He points out that Ichigo's character song is by a group called Bad Religion. And in that video, I was like, why the fuck does Ichigo have a Bad Religion poster on his wall?
Yeah, that makes total sense. I think Grimmjow's like A-bomb or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone else is kind of like all over the place. I think Hallibal's is like helicopter or something, or block party.
Yeah, sure. Shunsui's is like some kind of sick ass Spanish guitar thing.
Sounds about right.
That's cool.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah, and like what a cool thing where it's like, yeah, I'm going to go through, I'm going to put all of my characters their favorite song. It's like, who the fuck else is doing that? Like, Kubo, what is wrong with you?
I know it's customary for mangaka to give their characters like, you know, their favorite foods, favorite colors, birthdays, and stuff like that. But Kubo really went outside the box and was just like, yeah, this guy would listen to
and
this.
And Kubo's got a fuck ton of characters too. It's like, it ain't no joke.
Not to mention the drip. Every time this man draws, all his characters are dressed completely badass.
Did you ever notice that Ichigo does not wear the same costume twice in his street clothes?
Okay. Oh, no. Yeah, he changes.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck, his Bankai is the same. I was like, I don't know what you're getting on, homie, but yeah, the street clothes is cool. Really cool.
Ichigo is always on the cutting edge of style.
Yeah, Ichigo's that boy.
I mean, he's a teenager, technically.
How old is he by now? He's like 17 or 18, right?
I think
Yes.
Because he's 15, and then he trained to fight Aizen in that thing where time elapsed, and that was like, what, a year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was like a year and a half, so he'd be 17-ish?
Yeah, I think 17-ish is spot on. I think that's like probably accurate.
Even though he's looked 25 the whole series.
Yeah. Same thing for fucking
Chad. I mean,
dude,
the Chad genes is like 30.
Yeah. There's something in the waters over in Karakura Town. They're really making everybody look real grown.
No, that's just Chad being awesome. Come on.
This is Mexican jeans. Come on. I saw a great post where it was like, guys, be the Mexican that the Japanese think you are. It's like a Chad and all the other Mexicans from anime where they look, they're always fucking tough. They're always big. They're always badass. And it's like, yeah, that's cool.
They just think we're cooler because we're probably a couple inches taller than most of the Japanese people. So
the Spanish accent is cool. So they're probably like, oh, like nice.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. So they're like, damn, these guys are badasses. You know, it's like, yeah, it's really cool. And Chad is awesome. Love Chad.
Is there any character that has been done dirtier in anime period than Chad?
I mean, I don't know. Chad is up there. Renji is up there.
Shinji too.
Hitsugaya's up
Hitsugaya there. Has a lot of L's.
You know, there's a lot of another fucking funny post. I was like, it was like, oh, which of these L winners, like, you know, the people who take the L's the most, do you like the best? Three of the five of them were fucking Bleach characters. I was like, yeah, there's a lot of them in Bleach, dude. A lot of, because, which I could potentially argue that's a good thing, that, you know, people lose a lot, I suppose, but it's never the important people that lose. It's always kind of like the people we don't really care about. So it would have been cool to potentially, I don't know, I think maybe Ichigo has a few setbacks there, but I don't think he ever like loses. But
do you want me to list all the times Ichigo's taken an L?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so he took an L when he couldn't beat that Hollow. so Rukia had to get him to stab himself with a sword. That's episode one.
Okay, come on.
He didn't have powers.
That doesn't count. Next.
Okay, let's see. He gets almost murdered by Byakuya.
True.
Yeah.
But see. I feel like that is a bullshit take. Because
I'm leading up to the real L's. These are L's that don't matter.
Okay.
These are the developing L's.
I would
argue
that Homeboy beat Renji right before that, which is ridiculous.
And Renji did have Ransei Tengai?
Still ridiculous that Ichigo would beat Renji right there.
That was really funny.
Yeah, he was like, that is the biggest L on Renji's life. That is ridiculous.
All right, so now we get to the real L's. Basically, he kept taking L's all the time in the Rankar arc.
Yeah, he got his ass beat by Grimmjow multiple times.
He got his ass beat by Yami that one time.
Oh, that's right.
He got beat up by Yami. Ass. Then he got beat up by Grimmjow. Then he got technically beat up by Rukia when she, like, drop-kicked him.
Okay, but was the Yami L after he showed up and ripped his arm off, like, fucking cut his arm off?
Yes.
I would also argue that that is ridiculous, too, dude. Especially the reveal later where Yami is zero, just a giant fucking punching bag, I guess. Come on. Like, he shouldn't be rolling up and cutting the arm off of Yami like that.
I mean, do you remember, like, a Rankar get weaker when parts of their body are taken off? So he shouldn't have taken an L that hard against a one-armed Yami.
But he did so well against a two-armed Yami. The math doesn't add up. Ichigo shouldn't have done that well.
Maybe his Hollow shouldn't have started shit.
Yeah, I guess.
Then he took like the most epic elegance Grimmjow we've ever seen.
That was still one of the best.
That was an L.
Stabs Rukia.
I'll give that up, the first kicks. Official L of Ichigo where he got punched in the face over and over. Like, yeah,
fucked.
He got fucked up there. The Yami, I think a lot of his L's that we're listing here are preceded by him taking W's.
This is true.
It
kind of like, you know, I don't know. He gets his where he's not like a chatter or Renji L where they show up to the fight. They have new moves, new everything. They get fucked. Like, dude, nothing will ever be worse than that.
So going on to the next L, which is a correction I have to make when we were talking about Shinji always taking an L. Mm-hmm. So Ichigo puts on his mask and beats the shit out of Grimmjow. And then his mask comes off because 11 seconds are up. And then Grimmjow beats his ass. And then Shinji has to come in and save him.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. I totally forgot Shinji.
And then Shinji
saves.
Dog walks Grimmjow in that fight.
Yep. Yep.
That's a correction. Shinji has gotten one win.
What do we consider a win? Like when somebody retreats? Because has he had a full W, like a three count in the ring, mask to mask? No.
I mean, he didn't get hit once in that fight.
Yeah, he roasted him. But also, again, you know, that's like fucking classic Ichigo. He gets the Hollow Mask and all of a sudden he starts roasting the fuck out of Grimmjow. It's like, you know, should he have been able to do that? Number six up the totem ladder, I suppose.
I mean, even without the mask, that first fight, Grimmjow had him handled pretty well. Hadn't even got full release yet.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like the change and like, oh, now he's got the Hollow Mask. What's the power gap that happens there with Ichigo? And I would argue twofold on this. If the power between non-mast and hollow mast is that great, where Ichigo is able to fuck up Grimmjow all of a sudden, from where we just talked about him getting fucking creamed by Grimmjow, why are the fucking visors once again not using their stupid fucking masks? Like, if it's that big of a fucking power gap.
Because don't think about it.
Garbage ass. Yeah, Kage in the comments was trying to tell me, oh, Yamamoto banned it. Where? Point to where he banned that.
I don't remember reading shit about that.
I want to see the text where Yama bans that in the Soul Society. Hey, it Yama's doesn't weird. Exist. We know that. It doesn't exist. Garbage.
I remember reading speculation on forums that Yamamoto banned it, but there's nothing confirmed.
Yeah, yeah.
I should point out that was one-armed Grimmjow.
True. Okay. Yeah, true.
Okay, so I think the first clean L Ichigo takes is against Okiyora.
True. That's when he gets stabbed through.
He goes in, I think he puts on his mask, he goes full Bankai, and Okiyora just like he
pushes the sword into his face and breaks the mask.
Yep.
I love that and scene.
Pops a hole in his chest that fucking Orihime has to heal. That is a for real like that.
He got his ass beat.
Okay, we're at two official, just pure L's. Two official pure L's.
Okay, this one is a small L, but once again, not his fault. He just got done fighting Grimmjow, and then he had to fight Noitora and Tesla.
Okay, true.
Yeah,
not his fault.
I agree with that one. He was exhausted. Beat
Grimmjow, so that once again a W preceding an L.
Yeah, but then he has to go and he fights Okiyora, and. Pretty even Okiyora releases, still pretty even fight. You know, he's like, hey, I got to pull out your sword. And then Okiyora does a Segunda Etapa and then just fucking one shots him again.
True.
He has to go like full visored, full hollow.
Yeah. Vasto Lorde.
Also, didn't he take a massive L against Gin?
Wait, was this when he arrives in Karakura Town?
This is when he arrives in Fate Karakura Town, and he's like, I'm going to fight Gin, and Gin's like, you suck, dude.
I think you're not ready Gin to fight just Aizen. Distracted him, though. I don't think it was really an L.
Yeah, he didn't take it out.
Gin has been just
bought
been
time,
forever
I think,
since
for
I read that part.
Because that was during the time that Ishin was also fighting Aizen.
And then it's not a loss in combat, but I would say Ichigo breaking down and crying in Fullbring arc is a massive L.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Write that as an L. Sure
That's
thing.
Just, you know, all hope is gone. I'm crying.
And then Yuha Baha just fucking him up in the first invasion. That's a pretty massive L. All
right. Sure. I redact it. Ichigo's taking a lot of L's.
Ichigo's taking a lot of L's. It makes it seem like you don't know what's going to happen in this fight. He might win. He might lose.
True. But I think those are also good L's because he does come back stronger every single time after that.
He comes back stronger. He learns from his mistakes, except when he never uses his sword like Hollow Ichigo does.
That is true. Doesn't hold it by the chain and swing it around.
Do you know how obsessed I was with the fight in the Bount arc where he's fighting that weird like black thing with the stabby and Hollow Ichigo comes out and is spinning that sword like crazy?
That fight was sick. That fight was real sick inside of the construction site. Yeah. That fight was sick.
Like, why doesn't Ichigo just do that? It's so cool.
Yep, that one was really cool. That, and then the other highlight of the Bount arc was the three-way fight between Byakuya, Karya, and Ichigo all at the same time.
Why was that so well animated?
I don't know.
They just put the money
and
into
was,
that one.
The dialogue was good. The fact that Byakuya was attacking both of them was good. I was like, dude, that's a good fucking fight.
Yo, Bount arc hype. Fuck the fake Captain Amagai arc.
Yeah, that shit sucked. I think part of the reason that one sucked is because we had so much Lady Ruricio in it. Fucking bitch.
Yeah, she was annoying.
Yeah, not to insult a little kid, but fucking bitch.
No, she's a member of Soul Society. She's like a million years old or all whatever. Right. Fuck her.
That kind. We hate her.
Fuck her. All right, let's see. But anyway, back to Chad. This is all about Chad taking L's. I'll say the first L he takes is justified completely in the story. He loses against Shunsui.
Yeah.
I mean, what'd you expect? You're taking a captain.
But, like, did Chad in the Soul Society Invasion arc get a single fight before the Shunsui one?
I'm pretty sure you just see him beating up, like, seated members.
Okay, just, like, randos.
Yeah.
Yeah, rando. But You get a flashback before this, and it talks about how he's Ichigo's rock, he's support. If there's anyone I trust to have my back, it's Chad.
Yeah, so I remember him saying that.
So I think it's like really fitting and kind of like dramatic that he thinks I have to trust Chad with my life, and Chad just gets fucked up instantly in one hit. And you're like, holy shit, these captains are for real.
But I just, man, I hope they give Chad a moment in this. Like, I hope he gets a moment. I mean,
what does he say right before he says, I'm not as strong as you, but I can at least keep up with you, is what he says, right?
But he doesn't, man. He just doesn't. Same thing, like, until obviously this arc right here. Uryu is a joke as well, man. Like, I agree. Lot of the people that are competing with Ichigo are a fucking joke.
Uryu beat Mayuri.
Okay.
I still hate that guy.
But then Mayuri beat Xyloparo, who beat both of them. So
he beat him in a science off.
Yeah, which is pretty good. He beat him in a
science fair.
With my favorite quote that he has about perfection.
Oh, that's
such a good quote.
You would also potentially argue that Uryu did beat Mayuri, but if Mayuri just circled back around, he would win. Because Uryu then has no powers after that fight. Zero.
Yeah, I feel like it was more like Mayuri beats Xyloporo in a science off because that's what they do with their scientists. When he steps into the realm of like, I'm going to fight this Quincy 1v1, he gets dog walked.
He's the Batman of the fucking Bleach universe.
This is true.
Mayuri has to be put into the... If Mayuri was fighting Uryu with prep time, who's going to win? And it's Mayuri, 100% of the time.
Did Mayuri know he was a Quincy before they engaged in a fight? I can't remember that far back.
No, but he's like, oh, interesting. I don't really care about your people anymore, though. Mm-hmm.
Mistakes, man.
And it wasn't
mistakes
until he pulled the you only live once card.
Yeah.
Where Mayuri was like, oh, okay, maybe I do have some more research to do. But then he got one-shotted. Through his Bankai.
Yeah.
By the way, animation on Ashisogi Jizo being fucking exploded by that arrow is still like amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's insane.
Mm-hmm.
So then we go back to Arrancar Arc Chad, who he gets his arm exploded by Yami, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big L.
Yep.
But the one that's actually heartbreaking, so Grimmjow and his boys show up.
And
he is almost one-shot murdered by the weakest member of the group. D-Roy, who's the Gillian.
Yeah, I forgot about D-Roy.
And it's a scene that still gets to me where Chad's like, I can still fight. And Ichigo says, get the fuck out of here. And Chad runs away and he's like, don't you trust me to have your back anymore?
Oh, that's where Chad gets his feelings hurt. Yeah. I remember that.
And then he goes and he's like, Kisuke, please train me.
Yep.
And then he and Uryu come back big time in the Wake of Mundo arc. And you're like, yeah, Chad's going to be cool.
Well, because he gets his new arm and then he kills What's-His-Face.
Which his arm was fucking cool, man. Really cool.
Yeah, the left arm of the devil? Come on.
Yeah, and he fights Gontambine, who apparently is alive still.
Yeah, I just saw that recently. Someone posted about
really?
Him.
Really?
Yeah. Chad didn't kill him. He just fucked him up real good. Mm. And you're like, all right, Chad, maybe he's going to fight Yami. We're going to get a big muscle versus muscle match.
That would have been super
cool. It's
going
to be awesome. And then he gets one shot by Noitora, and then he shows up later, healed, and he like fights some minions, and that's it.
Yeah, I think he was in the fight with a tree guy.
The tree guy, who I love. Yeah. I love Rudebone.
Yeah, Rudebone has a cool design.
Of course you fucking know that name, jeez.
He's got fucking cool-ass lore that I'll tell you about later when we get in Can't Fear Your Own World.
Oh, good.
God damn it, everything's in Can't Fear Your Own World.
You know what, Jose? I'll tell you later so Sam doesn't get spoiled.
Thank you.
Good, thank you.
But and then I think the biggest L of all time is they said, well, just like Soul Society is for Rukia and Wake of Mundo is for Orihime, Fullbring arc's going to be all about Chad. And then everyone hated that arc, so they cut it short, so it wasn't about Chad for shit.
He got fucked, man.
And then Chad's just like that guy that blows up people's houses.
Yeah.
And people still living in there probably. Jeez.
He never recovers.
I'm imagining a little girl sitting down, happy birthday. And then immediately their apartment gets exploded.
This is fucking game over.
Can anyone that can edit videos, please, for my own amusement, show that clip over news footage of going, so we're investigating the recent terrorist bombing.
Lovely. Can't wait to see that. Thank you, Spikies. Jeez.
Damn.
We're calling them the Black Skulls because they leave skull imprints in buildings and we don't know why.
How do you even repair that? Be like, fucking son of a bitch.
Did Ichigo
to show off.
Did they ever how do you explain that to Ichigo's family? Wow, Ichigo, that's a crazy hollow you fought. He leaves skulls everywhere. Yeah, hollow, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Poor Chad. I love him so much.
He's a good guy, but yeah, he doesn't get justice, poor Chad.
Yeah, that's my thesis on Chad.
He does at the end when he becomes a world champion, okay, guys?
Yeah, true. So he gets his victories against the regular humans.
Exactly.
You know, to be fair, that's the easiest career he could ever possibly have.
Oh yeah,
I know.
Yeah, he went the easy route. He's making bucks of money. He's chilling.
Did he actually come out the best out of everybody in the series?
I think so.
I mean,
in terms of like a career and probably money wise, yeah, definitely.
Him and Ishida, right? Ishida's like a pediatrician or something.
He's a doctor, I think.
Yeah,
he's like a fan. Is Chad living in a mansion?
He's probably too humble for that. He's probably just got a nice house somewhere.
I feel like he would end up in a mansion regardless of his own wishes.
Yeah. It's like a big ass mansion, boxing ring.
He's all by himself. Like, he's like,
cars everywhere.
He's like, I don't have anything in the other rooms, but a boxing ring.
Yep.
His manager is Kisuke. He'd let Kisuke run his money.
My God.
Yeah, he's like, I trained you. Come on.
He's like, come on, man. I just want to live in luxury.
Just a little cut.
I want someone to show like the Urahara shop, and it is a mega conglomerate now.
Yeah,
Chad's money.
Yeah,
Urahara boxing gym,
proud sponsor of Chad.
Yeah, the Urahara candy shop, or what was it?
It was a candy shop, which some I think is hilarious.
Right. So does Ishin move and just leave the house to Ichigo and Orihime?
I would imagine, because that'd be a really weird to be like, yeah, they fucking in the next room.
I mean, Yuzu has that old room,
but it's still like the Kurosaki clinic, and Ichigo is I think a translator.
I don't know,
so he doesn't work for his dad, thank God, because that'd be the worst relationship ever.
Yeah That's a good question. I don't know,
did Ichigo's sisters move out?
They must have moved out.
I remember I don't remember. I think he says that Kazui hangs out in Yuzu's room.
I guess. I mean, he also goes to bother the Visors.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah. Just lore I learned when I was researching through some shit. Apparently, by the time of the Fullbring arc, Lisa has already just like hanging out in Soul Society and has already opened her porn store.
I love that. Okay. She totally would.
Dude, she's making bank off that. It's her and Chad.
Yeah, yep, the two richest people that made it out of there. All right, that it?
That's all I got.
All right, hell yeah. So that was episode 17. We got episode 18 next week, Master Masculine Special. So thank you guys all for hanging out. If you guys are a good clip maker, of course, Pythies put you guys in the challenge already. If you guys know more lore than we do, of course, leave it in the comments down below. And make sure you guys are liking, subscribing. We appreciate all the support we've been getting a lot recently. Check us out on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, if you've not already, for a lot of shorts and reels and things like that. And of course, we'll see you guys next time. All right, thank you guys for watching. Have a good one, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.